each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. I'm so happy to be back with you today.
Again.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy because we had a, I felt good yesterday about the show, and I wanted to
continue
because we got a lot going on today, so I didn't know if I was going to be on the show or not. You know, it's just the nature of life in the parish, and so but this is very important to be here. You scared me. That scared me, Nick.
Those guys always come in here.
The multitudes.
That gave me a heart attack.
You jumped off your seat.
Excuse me,
Father.
Yeah. I'm lower down.
So, anyway, it's good to be back again today because I revolution.
Revolution.
Hi, Tony and Geraldine and Christina and
Hi,
Nick
Father.
On the other side, and I had the mass with the children this morning. We're kind of bidding farewell to the eighth graders. Okay. Hopefully, they'll understand that they're not graduating from. The faith,
right?
You know,
they've only
happens.
Just begun.
They've only just begun. That would make a nice song.
Oh,
wouldn't
yes, it would.
We've only just begun. Mm-hmm. But you know this. So when I come on the radio, it's a discussion. It's we're reflecting. Mm-hmm. You're reflecting with me. I'm reflecting with you, even though I do most of the talking, but...
Well, it's your show. It's your
it's,
program.
Well, it's
you're the host.
I am. That's true. And so...
I'm
here to
reflect
you. Right. So we got just don't forget that, okay? and of course, this afternoon, we're going to be doing filming.
That's right.
I will be doing some filming. They're going to be filming me, which is Say a Little Prayer, because... Say a Little Prayer for Me. That would be a nice title of a song,
yes.
Wouldn't it? Say a Little Prayer
for
Me. Because I just don't like the camera. So I'm a little bit anxious about that, but we'll just go with it. You got to die to yourself and forget it and, you know, just let it happen.
You know how they say that God always sends you where you don't want to go.
It's so, exactly, that's so true, so true. They can just make me look nice and I'll be okay, you know, so. And I say the right things. That's the most important thing, that I say the right things. I keep thinking what Jesus says, you know, don't worry about what you're supposed to say when you're taken before the courts,
yes.
Before the Sanhedrin, before the authorities, don't worry. He says,
"I will be with
open
you.
Yourself to the Spirit, and I will speak in you and through you." So, all morning I've been fretting about that. You know, that the Lord, are you going to be true to your word? Please, just don't let me get in the way. As I have a tendency to do that. I'm reflecting with you this idea, because some people have picked up on it, actually, when we had the procession, was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago. How
time
flies.
Time flies. Jeez. Yes. I can't believe. Yesterday. I didn't realize that we're at the end of the...
The month.
The month.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The middle of the year almost.
I guess so, almost.
6 months, almost.
And Memorial Day is on Monday, so that's the beginning, the official, unofficial, but official beginning of summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll blink our eye, and it'll be the 4th of July, and that'll be the middle of summer. And then we'll blink our eye again, and it'll be Labor Day,
and
we'll have to get ready for the cold weather again, you know? But anyway, yeah, I can't believe it. It just occurred to me yesterday that this is already Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the First Holy Communion tomorrow in Spanish. I'm looking forward to that. But so the so you know, yes, so I said yesterday, and this is what I wanted to bring into the show today. Gosh, the winds have changed. You know, that's that song. I have to keep going back and listening to the prelude. We forget because we hear it all the time, but we just don't even hear it.
Yeah.
But those are very important words because we're certainly not in Kansas anymore, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Nor are we in the land of the Munchkins, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We're on the way, and it's a pretty fierce battle out there. So I was thinking that this past week I was very much affected, as I think most people were, by the terrorist attack in Manchester. The fact that 22 or 23 young people were just slaughtered, basically, and how many others, what was it, about 100 injured or whatever, but we don't know to what extent, but there are some that are probably maimed for life and and all that. It's just a horrific tragedy. And but I was thinking about that because I'm bothered on two perspectives, because on one hand, we're dealing with radical Islam, the extreme, literal, fundamental reading of the Quran, and having read the Quran, but I'm not certainly by no means an expert, and I've read bits and pieces of the Hasid, I think it's called the Hasid, the writings of Muhammad, apart from the Quran, because you know, the Quran is simply a dictation. God, Allah, dictates. He speaks, Muhammad writes. It's a monologue. There's no dialogue. There's no discussion. It's just a dictation, a monologue. God talks, he writes. The Hasid, I think it's called the Hasid, is perhaps you'd call it a reflection on what constitutes the life of a Muslim. But in any case, the point being is that all these things that have happened, these tragedies, you know, what we have to do in this time is kill political correctness. But there is justification for what has happened based on the reading of the Quran. Now, people will point then to the scriptures, the Old Testament. We have to understand that Jesus, as I say so often here, is our person of reference. He's the point of reference. He's a person of reference. God, it's not a monologue. It's not a dictation. Scripture developed over thousands of years. It is the story of God walking patiently, perseveringly, consistently, constantly with his people, preparing humanity for the messianic moment in history, the messianic hour, the messianic time when God would condescend and enter into our history, take on our flesh, which is totally, radically unique from any religion in the world. There was a preparation for Christ. Jesus was foretold. That's why in the Gospels, Jesus often says, but did you forget what was written? Wasn't it foretold? What did the prophets say? What is in the law? And he came to purify the law, not to take nothing of the law away, nothing of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, but to bring us even beyond that into a life, a high virtue. But everything has to be read from the perspective, from the person of Jesus. He's our reference point. He's the person of reference. And this remains, you know, through the whole of time until he comes at the end of time. So this is radically distinct, radically unique from any religion in the world, that Jesus is identified. We profess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. There's God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons in one God, a mystery. It's a mystery that is beyond, is it beyond human comprehension? I don't know, because the whole of creation is a projection of God. Mm-hmm. God projecting his this communion into the history. Everything is connected. So it doesn't, it really isn't far-fetched at all. We're in, we have identity only because we're in relationship with each other and with God. It's a communion. We're not islands unto ourselves, right? The world doesn't revolve around me. It doesn't revolve around you. So anyway, this is, so the point, so I'm, this is the, my, the, what I've been reflecting on for a long time, actually. And I do speak about this, but this week it kind of, it was brought home to me again in view of this tragedy, that on one hand, we're talking about a threat to our civilization, Western civilization, which isn't perfect, but it is a noble, a dignified, a productive civilization. It was built on Judeo-Christian principles. Nobody can deny that. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Now, the insidiousness of those who try to redefine history or rewrite history or revision history by focusing on all the negatives, which is what's happening, by the way, mm-hmm. in the institutions of education, because it's an agenda. Yep. I don't know. Well, what's at the root of that? Well, we can talk about that as well. But the point being that our civilization is under assault, On one hand, and the extremist, the Muslims who espouse, embrace in a fundamental way, the reading of the Quran and the Hasid, certainly the radical Islamic terrorists make it, they don't hold back in saying that they want the destruction of this civilization. They're in jihad. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was reading this week, too, that there are more Britons, Great Britons, more English, mm-hmm. or people from Great Britain, more who are have become part of the jihad, mm-hmm. than have even entered into the British armed forces.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that in London, as I read, 500 mosques have been built, and I can't remember if it was 300 or 400 churches have been closed. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, we've got this threat to our civilization. And for whatever reason, this is not confronted in our popular culture, neither in government nor in the media nor in the pop culture. If anything, more so than Christianity, because Christianity is viewed from a very dark perspective. You know, it's this revisionist, pointing out all the deviations and how Christianity is somehow the problem in the society. As I mentioned, even in Great Britain, about this debate that I witnessed, I saw, where they debate, this was in preparation for Pope Benedict's visitation to Great Britain. And so they had a debate, it was on BBC. I was shocked when I saw it, and you had four people speaking in defense of Catholicism as a good for society, and four speaking in opposition, mm-hmm. saying that Catholicism was bad for society. Then, of course, you had the vote would come at the end, and the place, the auditorium was full of a few hundred people, and there were all kinds. You could see the Muslims were there as well as the educated, the intelligentsia, and the students and all that. Mm-hmm. And they voted that Catholicism was bad for society. I'll give you, I heard this today on the radio this morning as I was getting ready, and it was a talk show. And I thought, boy, this is so true. Or was it last night? I think it was last night I heard this. You recall this congressman who was elected in Montana, what do they call it? Body slammed a reporter, okay? Yeah. And I'm kind of glad that I wasn't in his position, because I was telling Jerry this morning, I think I would have probably done the same thing. And I don't advocate, any kind of violence against anybody, but if somebody is just right in your face, mm-hmm. and, just badgering you, then, I feel for the police officers. I don't know that I could ever be a police officer.
No.
Because I don't know that I'd have the kind of control that's needed, when pushed to the extreme. I hate to say that, but I mean, I mean that in all seriousness. And I think, Christine, you will probably understand, not that I've ever physically done anything wrong, but I mean, I do strongly react sometimes when I feel that there's an injustice has been done, or when I'm being badgered, or you get the point. Yeah. So.
Well, it's when you see nonsense, and it's really, there's no logic.
Yeah. So, I heard this reporter say, because of course, in the media made a big thing out of it, and I guess rightfully so. Although the guy was the congressman was elected a Republican, but the Democrats, the media just went crazy with this, and they still are, I'm assuming. But this a commentator said yesterday, from a conservative point of view, he says, would a reporter, okay, let's just say, in view of this tragedy in Manchester or anywhere where there's a terrorist attack, would he go into a mosque with a camera and a microphone and go to an imam, the priest of the mosque, and say, what can you say about this? Mm-hmm. What it's never been done. Nobody does it. No, nobody does it.
Nope. They don't dare.
They wouldn't dare.
They're afraid.
Which tells you something.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what I'm saying on one hand is we've got this very real threat to our civilization that we're not confronting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're considered in some circles as bad for society, the church. And yet Islam, it's like everybody goes out of the way, not everybody, but the media, government. I would say one thing in defense of the president, he is, I liked very much what he spoke to the 50 representatives of the Islamic nations a few days ago. And I don't know that they got much coverage at all.
Of course not.
But it was so... it was so well done, so refined, so pointed, so to the point, very challenging, extremely challenging, just as he challenged the NATO representatives yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't get the coverage because, of course, he's got to be demonized. He's just looking for all the any way that he can mess things up. They're looking for that, the media, I'm saying, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just nauseous. I'm getting just really sick of the whole thing, to be honest. But Islam they're coddled. We gotta make sure that everybody understands that this is a religion of peace, that this is not in keeping with their teachings, their scripture, whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But when it comes to Christianity, just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We have been so demonized. We have been so, in many ways, and I can go on to, there's stuff going on all the time, all over the country, all over the West. in against Christianity. Today I was reading that a busload of Coptic Christians were bombed or something. You know, there's Christians are put into death right and left all over the place, and certainly even within the Islamic extremism, that terrorism, that violence, there's a basic civil war going on within Islam as well. Mm-hmm. So is the Muslims are victims of this this interpretation of its own religion. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back because I want to. So on one hand, we can say, or I'm saying, I'm suggesting, people, many would agree with me that this kind of terrorism, it is terrorism. Mm-hmm. This kind of violence, this infiltration of the jihad into the civilization is a threat to our civilization. Mm-hmm. And this is something that they've made known in a very pointed way. So, but there's another threat to our civilization. And this is what I want to talk about when I come back. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Hey, this is Vinny. You remember me. St. Stan School and City Life are presenting the first annual car show. That's Saturday, June 3rd. Now, I want you to bring your car to check it in between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Yeah, there'll be food, games, cars, and suds, too. All day fun for the whole family until 5 p.m. That's right. There'll be awards for the top 30 cars. Maybe it could be your car. Maybe not. People's choice, of course. It's a democracy, right? Participating vehicle registration at ststanschicago.org/event-forms. The registration's only $20 per car. You want to learn more? Call this number, 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560. And the proceeds go to St. Stan's Catholic School for Leadership, hosted by City Life Chicago. Bring your wheels Saturday, June 3rd. Check your car in between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. at St. Stan's School, one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. And I'll be looking for you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I was speaking about this. I've been reflecting, really disturbed and reflecting on this terrorist attack that took place in Manchester, England. And I just spoke about the threat to our civilization posed by the extremist Islamic interpretation or a literal, fundamental interpretation of the Quran. And as some have said, you know, the Islam needs to take a good look at this. You know, look at the Quran and, you know, correct this if it's wrong. And if it's right, you know, is this what you want to espouse? Is this the kind of, what is this? But, and again, I say, you know, Islam is a monologue. God, according to Muhammad, dictated the Quran. In Christianity, we have a 2,000-year preparation for the Messiah. Jesus was foretold. We begin with Jesus. We read backwards into the Old Testament to understand who he is, and he purifies the law. So he is our point of reference. He doesn't take away the commandments of God. He even brings us beyond the commandments into a life of high virtue. And then, of course, we have the epistles, the letters, and the book of Revelation, which is really about the battle battle between good and evil, between light, forces of light, and those of the dark, God and Satan. Now, the victory is already ours. The victory has been secured, but we're still in the messianic time, but we are anticipating, we're in vigilant prayer as we await the coming of Christ. In the meantime, we're in a mission. And this is all in keeping with the Ascension, which we celebrated yesterday and will be celebrated again on Sunday, that Jesus, when he ascended, you know, I thought it was so interesting because in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it describes how the apostles are there and Jesus has returned. He longed for this return to the Father. Now, he had been instructing them for 40 days, and before he returns to the Father and appearing to them. And so anyway, they're looking up into the heavens, and the angels come and they say, you know, they're befuddled, and he says, what are you doing? You know, why are you looking? Well, you know, he's not coming back until he comes at the end of time. Mm-hmm. You have to go. And what he says, go, and you got to await the Spirit. And what do? They're sent into prayer, and they pray for 9 days. That's where we get the novena of prayer. And who do they pray with? But the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, the Mother of the Church. And when the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, then the mission begins. They're empowered, and they're completely transformed, and imbued with such courage and such passion that it leads them unto their own death for love of Christ, so as not to deny him or his name. They literally were transformed, and we need this transformation. We desperately need this transformation. So I talk about this revolution. But because we have a dual threat to our civilization. So on one hand, we've got this Islamic extremism, a fundamental, literal reading of the Quran. They're not going to assimilate. People keep saying, well, they'll assimilate if they can just embrace our values. If they can embrace our values. And that's where I get really, my blood begins to boil, because they say, what values are we talking about?
Yep.
Because this is the other danger of our civilization. And I'm sad to say, and I'm going to bring it up, but the concert, the Ariana Grande concert, this was called her, this is her Dangerous Woman tour. Now, she's a product of her society, our society. Mm-hmm. She's a product of our society. She is a disavowed Catholic. Mm. She is a disavowed Catholic because her stepbrother is homosexual. And, of course, as everybody knows, the church hates homosexuals, doesn't accept the homosexuals, and so she disavows herself from Catholicism, her distorted understanding of Catholicism, a Catholicism that has been bred via the media, or maybe she was part of some renegade parish or whatever it might be. But this is the badge of honor, and this is what so often we hear from so many in the pop culture. I was a Catholic. I disavow myself of Catholicism because Catholicism is bigoted and hateful and all this kind of stuff. Now, these same people will coddle Islam. This is the great contradiction.
Sure.
They will embrace, coddle, accept, give excuses for Islam, where homosexuals are thrown off the roof, where women are subjugated to being, in some cases, completely I see this all the time in Rochester when I go in. I'm on the plane often, completely covered, you know, in black. All you can see is the eyes. And in places like Saudi Arabia, they're not even allowed, from what I understand, they're not allowed to drive. In some places they can't even go out. Women can't go out unless they're in the company of their husband. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes they have to walk behind the husband. Yeah. In Saudi Arabia, it's interesting, too, you know, that the Saudis are building one of the largest mosques in Italy. But in Saudi Arabia, you're not permitted to build a church, a Christian church. So women are stoned to death and parts. You know, we've seen this is a reality. And so this and I said, where are the feminists? Where are the so-called feminists who are there to defend women, a woman's right to her body, a woman's right to abort her children, a woman's right to be liberated, to work or whatever? And yet they will coddle this ideology.
Women over here at Saudi Arabia, you know, in the Middle East, they don't even have basic human rights. Just basic.
There's the contradiction, you see. But a point I want to make. You take the example of the concert. Dangerous Women, Dangerous Woman. This is the concert. Dangerous Woman, Ariana Grande. The tragedy of it all. There's no justification for what happened. But to say, think that, you know, all these young girls, and what are they subjected to? You know, and think about this too. You know, I was telling the children this morning, because basically what it is, and this is, I say, the threat to our civilization, is that we worship at the altar of the pop stars, the Ariana Grande, the Miley Cyrus, all these people, to varying degrees, even the sports figures. You know, we can fill up stadiums. We fill up the auditoriums, because you see this, you know, for years, right? The auditoriums are just filled, they're packed, you know? You have to have these huge stadiums or these huge concert halls, and people just go, they go crazy. And it's basically worshiping at these altars of these idols. And what constitutes their music? And what constitutes the dress and the movements and the dances and all that? It's all about the free reign of the flesh. So you've got these two extremes. I'm saying, you know, and while I say there's no justification, and so for this, and it's interesting. I was listening to Katy Perry, her response to the attack, as well as Ariana Grande, and I know she suffers from what happened. You can't help but it's a tragedy. But at the same time, I'm asking a question that we're not asking. What has happened to Christianity, to Catholicism, in this hemisphere, in Europe, in the United States, into Latin? This is all over the world. This is the enemy to our civilization, is this basic idolatry. I'm not opposed to entertainment. We need to be entertained. But are we going to, as I was saying in the school today to the children, to the teachers, I said, you know, because I use an example, Katy Perry, for instance, I was reading this, I saw this actually. Her response to this was, well, we need to love on each other. We need unity. We need no barriers, no borders. And I thought, you know, here's a woman who makes millions of dollars and lives in her own gated community, has her own bodyguards, is well protected. You know, do you see the contradiction? We will pay millions, and I mean millions upon millions, because I was reading about Ariana Grande, how much she's worth. Millions of dollars. We worship at the idol of these pop stars, movie stars, sports figures. I think sports is a good thing. My father had a policy that you got to be involved in sports. You got to work. You just can't sit around. I espouse that. We need to exercise our bodies. Sports is a good thing. Recreation is a good thing. Drama is a beautiful thing. From the time I came here as a young associate pastor, one of the things, and even at St. Hyacinth's, with the young people, I always wanted them to be part of to do drama, mm-hmm. because I wanted, or sports, the two, sports and drama, because it gets them off the street, yeah. and it helps them to develop some skills, some talents, and to work together mm-hmm. in a community. So I think this is important. Life is so hard. We need fiesta. We need celebration. So we're not opposed to that, but the deterioration of our the industry of entertainment, and what is it that we see on the movie screen? What is it that we hear in the lyrics of the music? How do we see those performers perform? You know, the more scantily they're dressed, mm-hmm. the more vulgar they can be. Mm-hmm. The more you get the point. I mean, this is no exaggeration. I mean, we see it. We mm-hmm. see it with our own eyes, yeah. and our people are young. You know, I'll tell you, this bothered me as well. I don't know if you heard about this. This bothered me. This was so sad. There was a 16-year-old at in a high school in Naperville, and he, with his 16-year-old girlfriend, had a sexual encounter, and he. It wasn't videotaped, but it was audio. It was on his cell phone, mm. and he shared it with some of his friends. So she got word of it. She reported it to the principal mm-hmm. or to the school authorities. They brought him in. He was interrogated. He was told that he was going to be registered as a sex offender.
Oh,
they talked about child pornography and all this kind of stuff. Now this is a guy. This is a 16-year-old. Had no problems ever whatsoever mm-hmm. in school. He was an athlete. Just the night before, he was talking about what college he was going to, where he would go to school. His mother's a nurse. So he was interrogated. Now you're going to be registered as a sex offender. You know, this thing about child pornography and all this. And he was left in a room to wait there until his mother came.
Mm-hmm.
He left the school. He walked to downtown. He got out. You know, they didn't walk to downtown Naperville. He walked up a parking lot and threw himself off the roof of the parking lot, committed suicide. I say this because how can we as a society expect that these teenagers, 16 years old, are not going to somehow engage in some kind of sexual stuff when they're surrounded, we're just saturated
mm-hmm.
with images. And again, they've got it at the push of a button in their computers, on their telephones. They have access to hardcore pornography, to all kinds of perversions. These are kids that are developing psychosexually. They're developing them. They're supposed to develop in a psychosexual way, mature. When we don't value virginity, we don't nurture chastity, purity. When we don't provide the proper outlet for young people to expend their energies and all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff, or whatever, you get the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. So, Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, what is her name? Miley Cyrus. All these, and there's others. Lady Gaga as well, who's a conflicted person. She admittedly, she's a Catholic. She hasn't renounced her Catholicism. She seems to kind of embrace her Catholicism, but she says she is a conflicted Catholic. You know, she's conflicted because she knows her lifestyle doesn't correspond. So at least she's honest about that. But Miley Cyrus. Thank you, Nick. But we subject these kids to all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's, you know, you're going to be registered as a sex offender and all that. I mean, this guy, what a tragedy.
It is a tragedy.
What a tragedy. Yeah. So I'm saying that the threat to our civilization comes, yes, from radical Islam, fundamental, literal reading of the Quran, as I understand it. It comes from also a civilization that has basically, and I say basically, but I mean in a very overt way, repudiated Christianity, makes fun of Christianity, so that, you know, these young people that are being formed, this is the same to our teachers, you know, we pay millions of dollars to be entertained by Miley Cyrus, Ariana Grande, the sports stars, anybody. We pay millions. We give them millions of dollars, and they're well protected, and they're in their gated communities, and then they can spout off about, you know, who we should be, what we should do, and all this kind of stuff. But all the while, they're really without. You know, they literally distort and pervert the minds of our young people, whom we're trying to form. We're trying to form according to the principles, the values, the commandments. I say we in the church, but, you know, we got an education system. The public education system is so corrupt and so liberal and so into the rights and rights. Everybody's going to have their safe space. There's going to be a movie coming out on this, too, a kind of a satire, I think, on these safe spaces. I'm so happy because this stuff has to be exposed. Because, you know, this, and I keep emphasizing to our kids, I even told them today, I want you to, I said, do remember a lot of things that I say, but one thing is, don't go through life focused on your rights, you know. Rather, what are my responsibilities in fulfilling my obligation to Almighty God? From God we come, to God we go. That you make your choice every day for God. We do not worship at the altar of these pop stars, pop figures. We worship at the altar of God. As Catholics, in the celebration of the sacred mysteries, because this is the enemy to our civilization, bringing down our civilization is pop culture. It goes back, you know, I was thinking about the, which was seemed kind of innocuous and really funny, and that's the thing. It's presented in a very attractive way. How can you not be seduced into accepting these things? Because it's all. I tell you, even when I went down to Florida, watched the TV with my mom, and you got all these channels and all that now on the television, and it was amazing to me. This is going back the last few years, but. How many sitcoms, primetime sitcoms, or anything, even the soap operas, you know, the promoting, celebrating, normalizing, really making a very appealing homosexuality, the gay, the lesbian lifestyle. The redefinition of family, and all the while denigrating Christianity, making fun. And again, there's the very overt effort to reshape the society, so that as Ariana Grande said. She disavows herself of Catholicism, renounces Catholicism, because, of course, Catholicism hates gays, doesn't accept gays. This is This is an outright lie. Mm-hmm. We are all called to chastity, to purity. We're called to define our boundaries, to struggle, to live under the dominion of God's Spirit, not to give the free rein to the flesh, as St. Paul said, because the flesh will lust against the Spirit. But see, so the point is, this civilization that is renounced in a vicious way, in some ways very subtle, very insidious ways, but also in some ways very vicious ways, has made fun of and renounced Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, has promoted basically the free reign of the flesh, guilty of all kinds of idolatries, mm-hmm. and is trying to create a society, and has, I should say, we're talking about radical individualism, radical subjectivism. In other words, it's just my feelings. It's about feelings. Whatever I feel, hedonism, pleasure, relativism, there is no truth, you know, unless, and they want to impose a truth upon me, you know. Let's just have a love. How did she say that, Katy Perry? Let's just love on each other.
Oh, please.
Here's our response to the terrorist attack. We're going to love on each other. We're going to be unified. No border barriers.
Baloney.
You know, let's get to the, you know, we're not living in the real world. I mean, this is talk about superficiality, shallow, brainless, an empty brain.
It's an easy way out.
You know. So anyway, we'll come back. And then I want to look at the letter to the Ephesians. We'll end with that because it is something very, very timely, I think, for our time. Oh, and then certainly the words of Pope John Paul II, which I revisited, and I find it a source of great consolation.
Good.
We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Hey, this is Vinny. You remember me. St. Stan School and City Life are presenting the first annual car show that Saturday, June 3rd. Now, I want you to bring your car to check it in between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Yeah, there'll be food, games, cars, and suds, too. All day fun for the whole family until 5 p.m. That's right. There'll be awards for the top 30 cars. Maybe it could be your car. Maybe not. People's choice, of course. It's a democracy, right? Participating vehicle registration at ststanschicago.org/event-forms. The registration's only $20 per car. You want to learn more? Call this number, 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560. And the proceeds go to St. Stan's Catholic School for Leadership, hosted by City Life Chicago. Bring your wheels Saturday, June 3rd. Check your car in between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. at St. Stan's School, one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. And I'll be looking for you.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Aletheia. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray, in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up. And I know you understand, I shouldn't have to say this, but, and I did say it already, but we're not prudes. We're not if you ever see the movie Babette's Feast, I mean, we'll go into that one day because it's such a beautiful movie. You know, we're not puritanical. We're not, we believe, the Catholic Church, by tradition, believes in fiesta, believes in celebration. I mean, my gosh, you know, you just go anywhere all over the world, in Italy or South America, celebration is part of our faith. But what has become celebration, what has become entertainment, is so
perverted and gross.
It has become. Yeah. I mean, But I was drawn back to the words of Pope John Paul II before he was elected a pope. This going back to the 1976, and he said, and I'll tell you where I take consolation in these words, because I get certainly frustrated, and I get pessimistic, because I say to you all, I speak that to you all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel like a failure in a sense, because I feel like I'm not reaching the people. I'm not pulling the people in to the church. I don't know what to do. I'm not an entertainer. I don't want to be an entertainer. I'm a man of God, a priest. Here's what the Pope said. He says, we are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced. 1976, Pope John Paul II, before he was Pope. He says, I do not think that the wide circle of the American society or the whole wide circle of the Christian community realize this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the antichrist. And this is so true. And he said, but this is where I find a consolation. He says, the confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. In other words, God is a God of history. God sees, he knows what's going on. He said, it is therefore, the Pope said, in God's plan must be a trial which church must take up and face courageously. And I just find that consoling, that it is a trial. We're not in Kansas anymore, and we're certainly not in the land of the Munchkins.
Nope.
We are in a different reality. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual battle, you see, the enemy to the soul is the devil, who is a deceiver, an accuser, a seducer. He creates the illusion. That's one of the enemies of the soul. Another enemy to the soul is the world that is not under the dominion of God, which basically puts us centered in self. The idolatry of the self, or if not the self, because most people are so insecure that they have to vicariously live through the idols, the gods, whether it be Ariana Grande or Miley Cyrus or Lady Gaga or some sports figure or whatever. Because you ask the kids, and most of the kids, what do you want to be? Well, their models are, you know, as the teacher, wouldn't it be better to pay the teachers $1 million than to pay somebody to entertain us? Mm-hmm. Because the teachers are forming the lives of the children. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't parents be given $1 million because they're forming the family, forming children, preparing children for life in this world, to be citizens of the land? Shouldn't they get the rewards of their But we're paying these so many perverted people to entertain us.
Yeah.
Right? So I, you know, it's a very negative response. But really, think about it. It's this confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. Mm-hmm. This is something we have to. This is a trial, and the church has to take it up and face it courageously. We will. It's inevitable. We're going to lose many, many churches, many institutions, mm-hmm. many schools. It's inevitable, unless by God's divine providence, by God's divine providence, by God's grace, there is something, some kind of an illumination, a reawakening. I think of St. Paul. This is why I say we need a revolution. It's got to be a revolution of prayer for the conversion of sinners, beginning with our own conversion, and for peace, for protection. God will protect those who are His own. We may not go, we're not going to go through this unscathed. We're not mm-hmm. unscathed, mm-hmm. but God knows His own. But we need a revolution, a Catholic revolution, a revolution of prayer that translates into work. Again, like those apostles who are looking up into the sky as Jesus ascended, and it's just so befuddled, and the angel says, what are you looking for? He's not going to come back. He'll come back at the end of time. He'll remain with, because Jesus said, I go that I remain with you in the Word, in the sacraments, which is my church. But that's where we as a church have to wake up. We've got to decide each day that we're going to live in, for, with, and through Christ Jesus. Put ourselves under the care of the Holy Mother of God and take responsibility for each other so that as a body, we can bear that light all the more brightly. You know, this this thing about the, as Katy Perry said in response to the terrorist attack, that we need to love on each other and have unity and no borders, no barriers, you know. St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, he speaks about, you know, that we have to be a community of love, bear with one another lovingly, be meek, be patient, perfect humility, have peace as our binding force, because we're one body, one spirit. Well, that's not that different, but he goes on to say, let us then be children no longer tossed here and there, carried about by every wind of doctrine that originates in human trickery mm-hmm. and skill in proposing error. Rather, let us profess the truth in love and grow to the full maturity of Christ the head. Through Him, the whole body grows, and with the proper functioning of the members, joined firmly together by each other, each supporting ligament builds itself up in love. I declare and solemnly attest in the Lord that you must no longer live as the pagans do. Their minds are empty, their understanding darkened. They are estranged from a life in God because of their ignorance and their resistance. Without remorse, they have abandoned themselves to lust and the indulgence of every sort of lewd conduct. That is not what you learned when you learned Christ. That's the antithesis of let's just love on each other, mm-hmm. unify, no border, no barrier. No, we're bound together to God and His commandments for the common good and for the future of our salvation, for the future of our civilization, but also our salvation, the salvation of our souls. This is a holiday weekend.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Yes.
Have a nice weekend. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Such meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside